This week on The Droids, Mando Season 2 news out the wazoo. There's so much to talk about because every bit of casting has been released. It's happening. We're still getting Mandalorian Season 2. We're going to talk all about the Mando this week on The Droids. Welcome back to The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Chris, Ryan, and Sam, I am Mike, and thrilled to be talking about that the fact the Mandalorian Season 2 is still happening. Despite everything going on in the world, in October, we will see the second season of The Mandalorian because apparently they wrapped the majority of filming, or all the filming they needed. They're just in post for this entire time. So
the timing worked out, John Favreau,
thing to look forward to.
John Favreau is an indie filmmaker. He knows how to get it done quick.
Right.
You know, when he was on Jungle Book, it only took them 185 days of shooting on a mocap stage.
I heard that they shut all the lights off, and then they came back to the volume where they film it at, and it was done. It's become
It was sentient. Like a murder mystery of a movie.
Yeah, the volume is now sentient.
Well, when you have the entire world that they're now creating digitally around the characters, I guess you can shoot that no matter what's happening.
I heard that John Wayne's nephew shot it on his iPhone, just his parts, right?
John Wayne's nephew, I think it's become more and more clear that really there's only been one scene where Pedro Pascal was in the armor.
Well, do they interview him in that show?
I haven't watched the episode yet. The third episode is about the cast, and I know that the takeaway from a lot of people, and we need to watch it, is that there was a lot more of John Wayne's nephew than there was a Pedro.
I felt like this was obvious from the get-go. It's two, you know, stunt performers, like motion performers, and Pedro Pascal's doing the voice, and I think, like, Disney should just, like, rebill it. They should bill it correctly. It's dumb. I'm mad about it.
You want them to put above
Pascal famously has that voice of his, you know.
I mean, look, I like Pedro Mandalorian too. This is not an anti Pedro Pascal issue, and like I'm sure his agents did great work to get him the billing, and that they wanted, you know, a name, and they needed a name, mm-hmm. you know. But it's like you're dismissing and certainly paying these people like not what they're actually earning. They're doing the role, you know, and it's a joint effort.
You're dismissing John Wayne's grandson, whose name we don't know, who got there on his own merits and deserves the billing, whatever his name may be.
Isn't it Brandon? Is it Brandon Wayne?
Brandon
Wayne? Ryan's right. I don't know.
I hardly care.
And a tip of the cap to Pedro Pascal's agents from Sam.
I think it was
to everybody
great
over at
it.
CAA who really fought hard.
We got a gift bag coming your way.
I guess it's kind of like
Brendan Wayne.
If you're a voice actor for an animated film, they're not like listing the animators at the same level. So maybe it's something like that. It just feels weird that I don't know. Maybe it's like, I wonder what they do for the Spider-Man movies. Like, or like any other costumed hero or costumed
Tobey
character.
Tobey Maguire's in the suit for every Spider-Man movie. Still.
He's still doing it.
Yeah,
that's
I thought I saw Spider-Man playing poker in one of those scenes, and I thought, that's not Tom Holland.
He's really good. Oh my gosh, what a good move. I would have never thought he would have pulled the river like that.
You know, if Pedro Pascal can show up for a Zoom of a script read of Community, I think he can show up for the actual episodes of The Mandalorian.
Well, he showed up for the Mandalorian.
Yeah, he did show up in the Zoom of Mandalorian.
Yeah, there is Zoom in The Mandalorian.
My favorite part of the Community live read was that every time anybody said man, Dan Harmon would just add DeLorean at the end of it. Like,
that's
every
hilarious.
Time. So Pedro Pascal would say something, he's like, I'm just a man, or he'd be like, DeLorean.
That Dan Harmon sure is funny and not problematic at all.
No problems. Just like so many people that we know and celebrate.
Whoa.
Well, let's
we're gonna
be
have
honest,
no friends at the end of this. Pedro Pascal's mad at us. Dan Harmon's mad at us.
Yeah. No, I take back
all
the
of CAA.
I'm gonna have people screaming Szechuan sauce outside my apartment soon.
Oh man, I want some McNuggets.
Oh jeez.
It's 8:30. No,
the podcast
so
already took
know.
A turn.
You're not wrong. Chris, let's put a pause on this Mando conversation. Yeah, we need to talk about we need to check in because we've all been inside for a long time. I would love some McNuggets.
I have my wife very nicely bought me frozen chicken nuggets because I said I haven't had chicken nuggets in years.
Oh.
And yesterday I just like wasn't trying, you know, one day some days you wake up and you're like, I just don't have it in me to like try. So yeah. For dinner I just yeah. took a flour tortilla and put chicken nuggets and cheese in it.
Wow. You just made a snack wrap, my friend.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? If I can't go there to get it, which I guess conceivably I could.
You could. I will tell you that I recently did go to a McDonald's, felt pretty good going up, and then the person serving my food had the mask below their nose, and I'm like, well, that's just pointless. Like, what are you doing?
I'd say 70% of the people I see out like have the mask below their nose, and I don't know if they don't know how to wear the mask or if they're just done wearing the mask. I don't know.
I think there are just too many oversized masks out there.
You guys know that those I mean, those masks, they're like uncomfortable. So
are you saying
I think
a mouth hole?
My wife was going out the other day and she had a mask on, and then I looked and it was actually Brendan Wayne, John Wayne's grandson. I couldn't believe it. I said this whole time I thought it was my wife.
Ryan, I thought you were going to say that no one cared about you until you put on the mask.
Oh, that's good.
Mike, we both went there. I was going to say the only mask that matters is Jim Carrey's the mask. And that's the only one that really changes your situation. Wow. That's hilarious.
What's hilarious is that
well
Chris
it's confirmed I'm
joke.
Watching I'm watching The Mask tonight.
Love The Mask.
What was that Jim
I love
Carrey
I loved
Cher?
Watching that movie when there was a what'd you say, Chris?
Just Jim Carrey and Cher. Is it The Mask or Mask? I can't remember now.
Oh boy.
Oh my god. I wonder how many times I've met for the kids out there who have no idea what we're talking about, and even for people who are alive, the Cher movie Mask, I think from 1984, starring Eric Stoltz.
I think so.
Which is very sad and upsetting.
You mean the Back to the Future guy?
I've never seen.
Yeah,
it.
Famously, the guy from the cutscenes in Back to the Future.
Famously,
no,
almost
hey,
star
his
Back
his
to the
head
future.
Makes it into Back to the Future. There's a point that Biff punches Marty McFly, and that's still his head.
Really?
So he's in there.
Really?
Oh, wow.
That's crazy.
You say, is that the guy from The Bachelor Party and Jerry Maguire? You recognize it instantly.
Man, what a career.
Well, back to The Mandalorian, who I think I've seen online is the perfect at social distancing, you have to say. He wears a mask, stays away from people, only hangs out with himself. I think he's great.
I don't know what the Mandalorian mask does, because I know that the Stormtrooper masks, they filter out smoke, but not toxins.
Not toxins.
That's right. You got to wear that weird mask thing that they have on the Falcon.
When they ordered those, Mike, and I know you're trying to get on track, but when they ordered Stormtrooper masks, was the person at the factory like, we could filter out smoke and toxins, and they were like, no. We want smoke filtered, but not toxins. And he said, they're pretty much the same filter. And they said, well, you get me one that filters out smoke, but not toxins.
Ryan, well, I wanted you to continue that because I had the same question. I didn't understand. Why does it filter out smoke?
Seems
and not
like
toxins?
The same What's mechanism, the doesn't it?
It does. It really does.
Toxins are smaller.
Yeah.
Maybe the Stormtroopers are just like, look, we want to get high off these toxins, so do not eliminate our options.
Famously, huffing has been tearing through the ranks of the First Order.
It's a tough job. You got to find some way to escape.
Well, they did have to build that whole base. You have to imagine there was a lot of industrial cleaners and paint around.
That's true.
So you would, yeah, you got to filter them out. Well, I do want to say there's a lot that we have had postponed this year. There's a lot that we do not get to go experience. And even if we do, it's maybe in the fall and it still seems unlikely. Like, there's a possibility we may not be going back to the theaters even beyond this year, which is a scary thing to consider.
No, man, four weeks, I'm going to see Tenet.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to go see
They're not
Unhinged.
Pulling that.
I'm going to go see
the summer, that Russell Crowe movie.
The big announcement, you know, the first movie that's taking the big leap, that's stepping in. I can't wait, man. Unhinged.
Yeah.
You know what it is? It's a 2020 movie about road rage.
You want to see a puffy Russell Crowe hit people with his pickup truck? Go see Unhinged.
How everybody today is talking about road rage.
It's very clear, like, a producer in L.A. was just being tired of being stuck in traffic.
I'm just glad
I'm just finally
glad that we're going to get that, just a movie to sort of cathartically, like, release what we've all been feeling. Road rage. It's like a 30-year-old 2020 episode.
Well, when Unhinged gets released in 2023 and Tenet gets released next year, we'll all be happy we had The Mandalorian this fall. That's actually coming out as I try to get this back on track again, Sam. Thank you. This is just, I'm happy to know there's something with a concrete release date to look forward to that is in the area of things that I'm crazy fan about. And so it's nice to know that's out there and that we're fortunate enough that they got that far along in the production. It buoys my spirits in these dark times to know The Mandalorian Season 2 is on its way. And I didn't even love The Mandalorian as much as I did a lot of other Star Wars content. I still think Mandalorian's great, but, I mean, now I'm over the moon that we get another season and still get to see it in October.
I gotta be honest, I'm now terrified for my friend Mike in the case of any kind of delay. The stakes apparently are very high.
The stakes are high. Really are. Without The Mandalorian,
I'm afraid to look at Twitter because I'm afraid the universe just heard him. Mm-hmm.
Because I'm worried, you know, I'm like, I'm going to have a 2-month-old, let's have a second kid, and I'm going to need to have The Mandalorian to give me that light, to give me that shiny moment from the tiredness that exists.
Oh, boy. Mike has spoken.
Mike has spoken.
I know. I've set myself up for...
You think whatever Disney Plus Christmas release starring Keira Knightley they'll have won't do it for you, Mike?
Ooh, do they have one?
No, but I'm sure they will.
They're following up the Anna Kendrick movie?
Yeah.
I like that. The best thing, though, I mean, look, we're joking about it. We don't know what could happen. Anything could happen. You know, it could be delayed. You know, there's been just so much shut down. But the good
only
news
if the
is
world's
that if it's delayed, the good news is that, Mike, you can just shift all that excitement over to the Snyder Cut, which is coming in 2021. We have a release date-ish.
Oh boy, we're not going to talk about any of this.
Mike, you and your Twitter cronies really got it done, Mike. We know you've been leading the charge the whole time. And we're really happy for you, man.
Oh yeah, I tattooed my face.
Let's do the let's start the hashtag now. Release the Lord and Miller cut.
That's like 15 minutes of Todd Glover improvising, and they're like, "That's all we shot." And in the background, you see Ron Howard standing with Kathleen Kennedy pointing at them. Well, speaking of the DCU,
Arrested Development.
Speaking of the DCU, Mike, there's some relevant news with the DCU and the Mandalorian. Yes.
Yes, you know what? That's really interesting. It's a good thing I watched Aquaman because otherwise I would not know what you're talking about right now, Ryan. Because coming back into Star Wars, and am I pronouncing his first name correctly? Temuera Morrison is going to be playing Boba Fett. He played Jango Fett, obviously back in the prequels, in Attack of the Clones, and he will be returning to play Boba Fett. In what kind of role? Will it be a flashback? Will it be that he survived the Sarlacc pit? We don't know, but the inspiration for the entire clone army is going to get another chance. And honestly, he was pretty good in Aquaman, so I'm excited to see him return. I hadn't seen him in quite some time, obviously, I even think since Attack of the Clones, and I'm like, wow, he really was underused. He feels like he should have had more opportunities.
So I imagine he's playing Boba Fett the way that Pedro Pascal is playing the Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Because I saw Aquaman 2, and also, not Aquaman 2, I don't have inside knowledge, but the thing that struck me about is that you see him next to Nicole Kidman, and you're like, exactly. But yeah, like, he's not going to be in the suit, right? Didn't they say Timothy Oliphant will be in the suit?
So really? With Timothy Oliphant, that's the other bit of news we have to talk about, has been cast in The Mandalorian. The interesting thing about all these casting news tidbits, they've already shot everything. So they've shot these appearances. Yeah. It's not a matter of their cast for season two coming up. They've already done this.
Do we think that's true?
Do you
think
that they
shot the entire season?
Well, they did say they were in production as of like the release last year. So when it started in...
Well, they filmed Attack of the Clones in like a month, so I think...
Well, that sounds about right.
They really did. I think they could really move this thing out.
Well, so Oliphant is supposed to be playing a character who has received Boba Fett's armor from Jawas who took it from the Sarlacc pit. Who were able to somehow get it.
Oh, my God.
And this character's name is Cobb Vanth, who was in the Aftermath series by Chuck Wendig. All of us are not really up to date on the novels, except for Sam, who's read the Thrawn trilogy. You know,
he's really
everyone
up to
else
date.
Read that too.
Yep, I'm really up to date. I do want to read Master and Apprentice. Actually, I want to read that because it's got my boy Qui-Gon.
Maybe if any of our listeners have read any of those books, please email us droidspod@gmail.com or Twitter @droidspod, Instagram @droidspod. Let us know if you've read any of the books that involve what's his name. Timothy Oliphant.
Cobb Salad, right?
Cobb Salad. Ty Burrell.
What? Was that a Ty Cobb to Ty Burrell?
Yes,
it was.
Thank you. Yeah, mental gymnastics.
We're running through. I want to jump back, though, to Temuera Morrison. The interesting thing to me about that announcement was, like, they seemed to know that when they announced him, like, they seem to want to jump out in front of the fan speculation of, like, oh, will he be playing Rex or will he be playing,
you know,
a clone trooper or anything. Like, they came out and announced straight up he will be in the show and he'll be Boba Fett, which is, I think, really, I mean, it's really keen and I think smart PR and kind of, like, advertising, because how much more buzz is there now that we're, like, That first question, the easy question, is answered, right? And now it's like you're left with like the bigger question of like, well, how does that work? Because I thought that guy died. Like, I thought that was definitive.
Well, that's amazing. He's also one of the only actors to play his father and his son.
I mean, Chris, aren't we all kind of playing our fathers and our sons?
Oh, it's poetic. Isn't that amazing, though? At first, I was like, what are they
going
to like?
I don't feel like that's true, though, Chris. I feel like a lot of actors.
I feel like every movie like, where someone goes back
and
in
like,
time.
Put on a mustache.
I didn't see that new Scorsese movie.
Look, let's just go back to Michael J. Fox, and he played his son and his daughter.
Oh, that's true.
He did play his father and his son. He played himself and then his son.
Yes.
And his great, great, great uncle? Right?
Yep. Oh, wait, yeah. In Back to the Future 3?
Yeah. Yep. And Back
Lots
to the Future
2,
he plays Marty McFly Jr., where he's like, I don't know, Biff. I don't know.
Doc?
Well, that was a good one. I think we have to at least say, you got to give credit where credit is due. The breaking of the news on this, on Oliphant wearing the Boba Fett armor, was from Slash Film. You know, we didn't break any news here on this podcast, so we got to give some credit and some sourcing on this. The other bit of news in the casting, Katie Sackhoff will be joining the cast as well for The Mandalorian.
She will
be playing the role that she has had in Clone Wars and Rebels of Bo-Katan, right? I believe that's accurate. I am not at the point in Clone Wars where her character has been introduced yet. We do have a lot of catching up to do. We apologize for those of you who are well.
One day when we get a lot of time at home, it'll be like we'll really fly through it. But.
You know, if we ever have a gap year, that's when we're going to get this.
I think I find this idea of everybody, of like them mixing the cartoon world, and obviously it started that way because Anakin and Obi-Wan are in it, but like having characters who were conceived of in the animated series coming into live action, I think that's thrilling because it means that like, they're not doing this thing where they have to separate them. They're not doing the DC. Like, there's the TV world and the movie world, you know? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And Katie Sackhoff.
Except for poor Ashley Eckstein.
Say that again? Sorry.
Except for poor Ashley Eckstein, who's not getting to be in the series because Rosario Dawson is taking on Ahsoka.
Listen, if you're going to be replaced by someone, Rosario Dawson should be the person. Sorry, I didn't know I had to repeat. Rosario Dawson's great. Move on.
She's taking your spot on the pod.
Yeah, I think my wife would be thrilled if I took off a mask and I was Rosario Dawson. What a cool person to hang out with.
Is it the Jim Carrey mask?
It is.
Yes, it is.
And it's Cher underneath.
Cher, so and then underneath Cher is Rosario Dawson.
There's a couple things I want to bring up just about all this casting, and we can talk a little bit more. I think the Oliphant casting maybe has the most information to go with it, just because he's, and the fact that he seems to be maybe out of this group, obviously, the most famous addition to the series. But with all of this news, it makes me think about that each of these roles could be just a minor blip, almost the way that Ming-Na was only in it for a second. You know, I mean, she was barely in it, and we get excited, and we all get amped up, and we can't wait to see them in it. And it makes me kind of wish that, oh, no, we're going to announce that Timothy Oliphant is a series regular, and he's going to be part of it. I liked when that was news, when you used to announce that someone was going to be a prominent part of the story.
Yeah.
Even Cara Dune was only really in, what, two episodes, or I guess two and a half? And so I want to see them commit a little bit more, rather than being like, I'm going to get all these nods and all these references to things I've seen before and things I like with a couple new actors, and Ahsoka may show up and Rosario gets one scene, but that's not really what I want. When they announced that Rosario Dawson would be playing Ahsoka, I thought, great, an Ahsoka series with Rosario Dawson.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
Do you think
the rumor is now with Rosario is that it's going to be an Obi-Wan.
Oh, that she'll be an Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Do we think that do we think that Ming-Na will be back? Because like I felt like that was very unresolved, you know?
Well, so that's the rumor, is that the character that Oliphant is playing of Cobb is the spurs that we see at the end of the episode approaching Ming-Na's.
And we know
character,
that Oliphant has some experience wearing some cowboy boots, you know what I mean?
Yep.
He knows how to do it.
Yeah.
But he's essentially taken over the power structure in Tatooine following the fall of Jabba and the Hutts.
Oh, maybe
this character.
And of course, Red Dawn or whatever it was called. What was Maul's group?
Yeah.
Red Dawn.
Crimson Dawn.
Crimson Dawn.
Crimson Dawn. There you go. Hey, don't forget the details of Solo. It's going to matter. It really is.
Yeah.
Oh,
well
if that's
what
Oliphant's
that
if that's the kind of character Oliphant's playing, that is like perfect.
Yeah.
He's got that charming sleaze going.
I think Oliphant should play Cad Bane. they should bring in Cad Bane from Clone Wars. That'd be good.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, I don't think you can mess with that face and put a bunch of blue makeup on him. I think he's staying the way he is.
People said the same about Pedro. So pretty. They're gonna have to take that helmet off sooner or later.
Oh, that's true. You're right.
No, well, it's quicker. You can bang out two seasons if it's with some people.
People didn't know that
you don't have to
Pedro
pay that well
basically
to be
a voiceover
in the suit all day.
They figured it out.
Imagine if they took off the helmet and it was Brendan Wayne, but they overdubbed him with Pedro Pascal's voice. That'd be wild.
Or they did a deep fake and put Pedro Pascal's face on Brendan.
Yeah.
You know what? Honestly, it's probably what they're doing all along. None of the actors are actually there. They're all deep fakes.
So when you hear all this news, and I think one thing that I thought was called out that was pretty interesting was that we didn't know much of anything about The Mandalorian Season 1. You know, it was pretty much surprises at every turn. No idea there was going to be a baby Yoda. That in itself was something that just I thought was it was great to feel like you were watching something again and had no clue about where it was going and what direction it could take. And now that we know that we're getting, you know, Ahsoka, Bo-Katan, Boba Fett back for a moment, this character of Cobb, we have a little bit more of an idea. Is that something that, I don't know, maybe is a little disappointing? Would you prefer to go back to the blind experience? I know some of us on this podcast love spoilers, love knowing more. Is that something that actually makes you more excited knowing that there's some of these things going to be a part of it? Or would you prefer to go in clean the way that I always talk about it?
I think they're gonna manage to surprise us, you know, just like last time, like they did in episode one. I think they're gonna kill Baby Yoda. And
oh man,
he's not going to be in the season anymore.
He's going to be drinking a glass of green milk.
By that point, we're going to be 7 months in quarantine. Everyone's going to need this brightness of
Baby
Yoda, and they're
going to
kill him.
Yeah.
He's going to kill him.
No, I think we're
suicide
in an inevitable course where we're just in 10 years. It's going to be all Star Wars babies. Like everything just will be
the Muppet babies.
I just can't wait to see. I can't wait to see all the interviews of Jon Favreau saying that he was so inspired by The Empire Strikes Back and then saying, this is really The Empire Strikes Back of Star Wars sequels.
Now, I don't mind the little spoilers. My hope for this show is what a lot of like good sci-fi shows I think do, like incrementally build the world. So it's like they kind of expand your purview each season. I think Clone Wars has a lot of that. I hope this show does the same thing, where we're seeing a little more of like a put together universe, rather than these kind of like little vignettes that we got in the first season. I think if they kind of teased out Timothy Oliphant's character allegedly in the first season, maybe he's the new big boss. Maybe he's kind of replacing Werner Herzog, which we saw repeat. He was kind of a main. How many episodes was Werner Herzog in?
He was in, I think,
four, three,
three or four.
Three, yeah, I think
so,
three.
So that's a
oh yeah,
because
he died. He died at the end of seven. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. So yeah, so I think that's a substantial role. So I would be happy if Oliphant had something like that.
Yeah, I think that definitely is a substantial role versus, a lot of just Fennec Shand. I wanted more of Ming-Na's character, and we only got it for a blip.
I'm interested, though, Chris, and I mean, this is something we talked about during season one, like when we were doing our reviews, which was that like the show in season one really seemed to be kind of caught between these two worlds of like modern, like serialized storytelling, and then more like old school, almost like 90s cable, like episodic adventures. Yeah. Like they kind of had this two halves of the season.
Yeah, like Xena warrior princess kind of vibe.
And I think I personally would kind of love like that throwbacky episodic thing. Like I almost like my vote would be like, don't tie it all together. Just do like these one-offs with interesting characters.
Sure.
And you seem to be saying the opposite, which was like, you'd like to see it, all tied in more, and like,
well,
so where do we all fall on that?
I think story-wise, I just mean more like consistency of the world. Just like give us more spaces to play in, like build the set out a little bit bigger.
I think with things like this, I think that like with the tone, I think Firefly would be like a good like format in terms of like the characters. I mean, obviously there was only 13 episodes, but the characters kind of grew and that expanded and the world expanded, but every episode was kind of its own little adventure. I think that that's a good way to do it, where it's like, if they're not going to have this super serialized thing, which I don't think we need, it's like we have enough of that. Like, why not have like an adventure of the week? And then there are like these little things, like there's like the big mystery and then the episodic mysteries. Or, adventure.
Well, it's kind of like the way that Clone Wars or Rebels would build to a four-episode arc towards the end of the season. That works. I think the challenge for me is I just want to know that going in because I didn't know that for season one. And then when it made the dramatic shift from the first couple episodes, that was so jarring. And I don't know. No one should have to come out and be like, hey, let's tell you exactly what we're doing with a season.
Well,
but it felt so clear that we all knew, we're like, oh, this is eight episodes of one story and we're all building to this, and that's what it's set up with in the first couple episodes, and then it changed.
Well, I would say that's a flaw in the storytelling in terms of how they spread it out, because the first two episodes, I think, were this, like, it did continue on. It was basically like a two-parter. And if you begin it that way, that's the language you've established.
Yeah.
So everybody thinks, like, oh, and this is continuing on. Where if the first episode ended cleanly, the next episode started like, oh, it's a new adventure, I think you would get it more, as opposed to like it seeming like, oh, we're just continuing on.
Definitely.
It's
that's why the fourth episode, I think that's the one that takes place in the village, was like so jarring.
Yeah, that was
They could have made episode one and two one episode. And just be like, this is our 50-minute hour-long episode.
The length of the episode also is kind of puzzling for that format, because, I mean, usually even those syndicated shows, they're a 40-minute episode. So to have it be the reduced time of, like, 20 minutes to a half hour, like, I think that makes it difficult to do these, like, one-shots, because you're not getting the establishment that you need from all, like, the side characters right away. Like, it's very condensed feeling. So it feels like those are just, like, pages in a comic book that you're kind of going through until you get to the big fights.
That's true.
Let's make each episode 1 hour is what I'm saying.
I do wonder, do we know how many episodes is in season two yet? Do we know any of that?
Has it been released? I thought that they announced some of the directors, but I hadn't heard. I just assumed they were doing another eight.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, I mean, that would kind of be my guess as well. But you know, I just didn't know. All right, well, we'll confirm it here on the pod. It's 8.
It's sure. Here's a scoop. I just talked to John. 8 episodes. Just got off his phone call with John and Dave.
Sam, what or Ryan? What does your coin say? I think it was written on the back of the coin.
Yeah. Oh yeah. My chef coin says 8 episodes, season 2.
8 is always enough for every season.
Yeah. There you go. Wow.
Well. I'm eagerly anticipating that. I think other news, there really hasn't been a 40th anniversary of Empire Strikes Back. If you've already enjoyed our live watch of Empire Strikes Back, we'll try to maybe get out that version. Yeah. I don't want to make a promise here, but we will be releasing the audio of our live watch of Empire Strikes Back as well as Star Wars.
Yep. And that exists exists on Facebook and our YouTube right now.
That's right. You can check them out there. That's a great place to see them before we then release them as an audio version, podcast only.
Also,
and then we will be doing Return of the Jedi.
Also, 2 days ago as of this recording, 3 days ago as of this release, it was the 15th anniversary of Revenge of the Sith being released in theaters.
Oh, yeah.
May 19th, 2005.
We're working our way through.
Babies.
Yeah.
Are we doing live watches in release date order? Is that what we're going to do? We're going to go back to Phantom Menace?
Yeah,
after
I believe we
kind of
have to.
Oh, I like I like this. Yeah.
That's a great idea.
I cannot
idea.
Wait for our Rise of Skywalker live watch. I'm going to get a few drinks
in me. I'm committing all of us.
And really let loose.
I still haven't seen it a second time.
Wow.
I mean, unlike The Last Jedi, where we constantly were trying to tell you you had to, I'm not going to force you to do anything here, Sam.
Don't do anything.
It is actually funny. Yeah, yeah, I guess I've taken the same approach, but for different reasons. One, it was like, I want to preserve perfectly in amber this, like, beautiful experience and make it as rich every time I watch it with The Last Jedi and, like, with The Rise of Skywalker. I'm like, yeah, I think I got it. got it, didn't like
the food you ate.
Stock, though?
Just think about the food you ate at the theater the time you saw it. That's what I do.
Think about that theater experience. You know, and I think, obviously, theater experience, we've seen 2 Star Wars movies together as a full podcast group.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite
and
experience
that'll probably be
as a group.
Well, that's it.
You know, when they release another Star Wars movie, we're all going to find our way to the same place when in 3 years or whatever that will
be. Yep, I'll put on my Jim Carrey mask. I'll be right over.
But I do want to say one of my favorite moments was Endgame, seeing it with all of you, and especially the moments, 2 that I remember, Chris showing up a little bit late because he got on the wrong bridge. And then Ryan had to walk out because the whole moment. I get it. It was just like there was too much.
Yeah,
it was 6:30 in the morning. I had too much coffee and not enough to eat. I didn't have anything to eat. I just had coffee. And then I got so excited when everybody came back that I had a panic attack and I had to leave the theater.
I remember you looked at me. You said, "I have to leave for a moment." You said it very calmly.
Well, yeah, it's a raging storm inside, like, outside. I mean, I guess maybe the ushers who saw me sitting on the floor outside may have sensed something was wrong.
Yeah,
that was a fun experience.
And Ryan, I'm not making. I hope you don't. I'm not making light of that at all.
Oh,
I'm
Mike,
more so
please.
Just like,
listen,
we're memories.
We're buddies for life. You don't have to worry about stuff like that. I'm making light of it. Not that anxiety is something. That, you know what I mean. Anyone out there who struggles with anxiety attacks, I feel you. But I had one and I missed the complete end of Endgame.
Well, please let us know about your favorite theater experiences with a group, by yourself. I've had some great times going to the movie theater by myself. I would have to say it's one of my favorite ways to experience a movie. There's no expectation of me having to, you know, tell other people, like people on a podcast, what I think of it.
If you do want a pure experience,
droidspot@gmail.com.
If you want a pure experience of whether you liked a movie or not, go see it alone.
Yes.
It's like you really like every movie I've gone to see alone, I generally end up liking because I'm just like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. That's how I was. The last movie I saw at theaters was Sonic the Hedgehog. So
wait, what was it? What was all right. So I saw 1917 was the last thing I saw in theaters. Ryan, Sam.
Last thing I saw in theaters was Little Women. I saw it on New Year's Day.
Oh, good.
I don't know. I'll have to go back through. I haven't seen them. I can't remember the last time.
The Rise of Skywalker?
I think it was Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Put you off
not
movies
a good
altogether.
Way to go out there, Sam.
I'm pretty sure. Because,
well,
yeah,
then it's like January's kind of dumb.
I don't go to as many movies. I think I'm very much like more in the camp. I mean, if it's not a huge, like, big kind of budget, like, got to see it on a big screen with the surround sound type movie.
Like Sonic. Like Sonic.
Like Sonic the Hedgehog. I really, I don't know. I almost hate to say it because I feel like it's like an uncool filmy thing, but it's like I like watching it at home. I really like the experience.
Boy,
I like renting or, you know, or buying it on iTunes and setting up my own
to counter
space.
That, the theater is the only way to go. See movies in theaters. Forget home. Don't stream. Just see it. Go to the theater now. Break in. I bought an abandoned theater. I want to go check it out.
We definitely do not endorse this on the pod.
Yeah, Mike does not speak for the podcast in saying go to the theater now. Break in. Although Christopher Nolan has said that he wants his fans to break in to go see Tenet in 35mm.
Like, I will say, like...
And I'll be doing that.
I was thinking about this recently because I
Sam, I'm going to have to cut you off here. We're out of time.
I want to see the new James Bond movie when it comes out. I would love to see that.
Oh, you got it in.
I would love to see that in theaters. I'm at a place where I'm just like, if by November it doesn't feel safe to go to the theater, I would want them to just do, like, just release it on digital and I would pay...
Oh, dude.
Like, I'd pay $50. I'd pay $50 to own that movie, like, today.
There you go,
and for
studio.
Me,
there you go,
$50. For me, there's nothing.
And it would be like you rent it. The $50 gets you, like, a 48-hour rental, and then 2 months later, you get the movie forever. That's what it should be.
Ryan,
you know
Ryan,
I mean?
Last word before we wrap this up.
There are a few things that would make me giggle with Glee more. Not that I want movie theaters to open, so I don't want this to be the case, but there's something so funny to me about the thought of Christopher Nolan having to watch his movie be released on VOD. I think that'd be so, it would never happen, obviously. It's a money maker.
It wouldn't happen.
My God, it would be so funny.
Yeah.
So funny.
It would have to be 5 years from now that we've never been back to the theater that he would do that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. He doesn't even want us to watch it digitally. I need that guy to calm down.
Released on your Amazon Echo.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you can only watch it on your phone. Oh.
Audio.
Well, that is going to do it.
They recut it for Quibi.
Oh, boy.
Delicious.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of The Droid You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Sam, I'm just cutting you off. Sorry, man. This is it. We're done. Episode's over. We'll get you next week. This has been The Droid You're Looking
For,
Christopher
Nolan directed
Batman podcast. What they wrote.
Annie?
I got it in for you, Sam.
I'm Jar Jar.
Jar Jar doesn't wear a mask. I'm trying to respect Ryan's time to cut this off.
Yeah, my therapist is
going to
call
difficult.
Me in 4 minutes.
What a ramp up.
Oh, yeah, you're going to be manic for the call.